Thank you, Charlie.
Good evening. A few weeks back, we went to a gospel meeting at the Southeast Church of Christ. We only got to go one night, Darla and I, but Mike Bonner gave a lesson on the church, and though I've heard many lessons on the church and I've taught many lessons on the church, I've even preached several sermons on the church through the years, I haven't done a sermon on the church in a long time, and the reason is because I got accused of only ever preaching on the church. That's all you ever preach. Every sermon's on the church. And because of that, I got to thinking, you know, maybe I do preach on the church a little too much, and maybe I need to back off, because after all, the people who are already members of the church know about the church and don't need to hear another sermon on the church. However, after listening to Mike's lesson, it was... I just decided, well, maybe it was refreshingly familiar and it was most needed. And I thought if I needed that as a preacher, then the congregation still needs sermons on the church once in a while. And so the title of this lesson is, What is the Church? If you look up in the dictionary, the word church, it means several things, according to Webster anyway. The Lord's house. A building for public worship, especially Christian worship, religious service, all Christians, a particular Christian denomination, a religious congregation, and ecclesiastical as opposed to secular government. Now, I'm not going the same direction Mike went on his lesson. His lesson was his lesson, and that was great. But I thought about what people think about the church when you ask people about the church. Not being concerned with what the dictionary has to say on the matter, I sent out text message to several friends of mine. Some of them are members of the church and some are members of no church. Many people have the same understanding of the word as though they had just looked it up in the dictionary. Here are some of the answers I got. House of worship. Place where people gather to worship God. Body of Christ. Place where you go to worship and be with your family. A place where people pray and worship God. And finally, church means to me going into the house of the Lord to listen to a person of whatever faith they may be speak on the word of God. Okay, on that last one, my question would be this. Do you know enough about the word of God to know if it truly is what they are speaking or not? So how do you define the word church? Most people who are members of the Lord's church that I know have a good definition of the word church. But if someone were to come up to you on the street and ask you, what does the word church mean? Would you say, well, it means ekklesia. Give them the Greek and say, yeah, this is what it means. This is where it comes from. Would you be able to answer by giving them scripture? Would you get nervous and change the subject? Some people would. Some people are like, it's been nice weather. You heard it. Change the subject. Would you offer to sit down with them and really get into what the Bible says concerning the church? Today we're going to look at what the New Testament church is. We're going to try to understand that there is actually a pattern that God has set forth upon the church and what we should follow. Because we can get off on that. I can remember when I was in school... my mother was really big on sewing. Four kids, she sewed a lot of clothes. Three of them were girls, she sewed a lot of clothes. And I thought she was the greatest seamstress ever. Her and Del Linehan, I think Del Linehan is the one that got her started doing that. But she would always sew, because she had all these patterns, and she had boxes and boxes and boxes of patterns. If she had made a dress for my oldest sister, and then... 4 years later, 4 years, my younger sister was 4 years younger. 4 years later, that sister needed a dress. She would pull out that old pattern and she would make a dress off of that old pattern. She could always go back to that pattern and always make a dress exactly like the one she made 4 years ago, 10 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago. Follow that pattern, you'll make the same exact dress. Okay, so the church, there is a pattern that God has set forth, and we're going to look at that. First of all, let us understand that the church is not a meeting place. It is not a building built with hands. It is not something we do, nor is it something we go to. Nor does it even resemble what most people think that the church is. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Jesus says here, in Matthew 16, 18, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You think about this, wasn't Jesus a carpenter? If a carpenter told you, I'm going to build something, you automatically think he's going to get out and build something, right? At least he was a carpenter's son. For the most part, we believe he's a carpenter because those people of that day, they followed the trade that their father was in. But when he said he would build a church, isn't that what he did? He went out and took some lumber and he built a church? No, because if we think that, then we're thinking the wrong idea of the definition of the church. The church that he built was an assembly of believers, a called out body. Colossians 1:18. Colossians 1:18. We're going to look at this body idea. Colossians 1:18. It says, it's talking of Jesus here in Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Okay, he is the head of the body, the church. Keep that in mind. Jesus is the head of the body, the church. What is the church? It's the body. Who is the head? Jesus. Very, very simple. We can't miss that up. It's really easy. Okay, think of a person who has never been taught anything pertaining to religion of any sort. All of their life, they've shrugged off a belief in God because they just... their parents didn't teach them, or their parents might have been atheists, but they just had no use for God whatsoever. However, they come to a time in their life that they wonder, is there any validity in the belief in a creator? So this person wants to find out for themselves personally. Now, as many of you know, the world is filled with people who never really looked into their own religion to see why they are. Ask someone, why are you a hyphenated Christian? Whatever it may be. And they'll say, well, you know, I don't know. My mom was always one, or my brother, or I went over there because of my friends. My own mother told me my mom was a Catholic, and I was born a Catholic, and I'll die a Catholic. This is after seeing the scriptures and looking at what thus saith the Lord. So there are many people that they have done something for so long, I know it's wrong. I just can't change. This is the way I am. This is who I am. Why is it that nobody cares why they worship the way they do? Ask them, why are you a member of the church? Why are you a member of this? So I've been going there for years. My mom was, or my friend was, or I really like it there. They do a lot of good things. Or I had a guy tell me one time, he said, the reason I'm there is because we went to every church all around, and I just felt like that's where we were needed the most. Now, that's noble. That's a noble gesture. But how many people have actually searched the scriptures extensively to find out what thus saith the Lord? What does the Lord say about the church? What does the Lord say? Because he said, we just saw in Matthew 16, I will build my church. Singular, possessive. Jesus said, I will build my church. I want to find that church that Jesus built, so I need to do some research. I need to look into things. Why is it that we don't look into those things? If someone told you that there was a doctor, now this doctor can fix you up. He's great. He does everything. So you go and you find out, you go to the doctor and you find out, he's not really a doctor. Wait a minute. I don't think I want to go to this guy. I want to find out some more about him. I want to know. Same thing, our soul is on the line. Consider this. Suppose you live in a place where the water board started rationing water. Okay, they were only letting you, you're only allowed to water your yard on certain days, certain times because of the drought. Sounds familiar, right? Okay, so if you watered at any other time than the allotted time, you would be fined heavily. Okay, keep this in mind. One friend says you can only water on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Another friend says you can only water on Tuesday and Thursday. And then perhaps your mother says, well, it doesn't really matter what day of the week you water on. You can only water on the even numbered days of the month. Okay, so that's all kind of confusing. So then another friend comes to you and says, and you say, I know. You're going to tell me I can only water on the odd number of days of the month. I mean, I've already heard everything else. And they say, no, what I was going to say is on the back of your water bill, it tells you exactly when you can water. So what are you going to say? Are you going to say, well, I've got, I really like mom's advice because I'm busy on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Or I like this other advice because I'm busy on Wednesdays and Fridays. Or are you going to go to the source and look at the back of your water bill and say, that's what I need to do. I need to follow the plan that was given by the authority that it was given by. In religion, many people will not only follow bad advice, but they will start to defend that bad advice as truth and stand up for it. Yes, this is, I know what that says, but you can't tell me that all these people are wrong. Come on, really? We will see it in any other aspect of life, but when it comes to religion, we're like, yeah, okay. The Bible gives us some insight as to why this happens and also how to avoid it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. And it says here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning of verse 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." It may seem as though we're getting off topic as to what is the church, but the fact is that many people don't know what the church is because they've been deceived into believing something that is not true. They've been deceived into believing that it is a building, or worse, it is simply all of humanity. Everyone that believes in God, that's the church. I had a guy tell me that one time. I was talking to him. I said, "What do you think about the church? What do you think the church is?" And he goes, "It's everybody everywhere that believes in God." That's pretty broad. That's pretty broad. That's like me asking Tyler, "Tyler, who's kin to you?" "Well, anybody and everybody because of Adam." "Well, that's true. But really, Charlie and Tyler aren't related. They're not in the sense that we know it." So it's kind of a broad spectrum to say something like that and say, "Yeah, that's just the way it is." You know, deceiving and being deceived. Those people deceived into those things. The scriptures won't allow for their definition, however. James chapter 2 and verse 19. James chapter 2 verse 19. And it says here in this passage, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." So that their definition doesn't work. There are others that can believe and still be lost. So just believing does not make you part of the church. There's not a universal church, so to speak, because of everybody that just believes there is a higher power. We oftentimes try to figure out, how do we convert people to the Christianity? I'd say, well, all we got to do is convince them. It's really hard to convince people that there is a God. With all the things going on in society, it's very easy to convince people there is a God. It's really hard to convince people the exact plan that God laid down, even though we have it in writing, black and white, unchanged for 2,000 years. It's hard to convince people what the Bible says. You can tell people there really is a God. "I don't believe there is a God. I don't believe there is a God." Really? And let's. What are the odds of everything that we have here coming together by chance? Well, the odds are pretty good. No, they're not. They're horrible. I can prove it in a simple experiment. Take something apart. Take a stereo part, radio part. I don't care what it is. You can stand here and throw it. I'll say, "You stay here and you throw that up in the air, all them parts up in the air, and you keep doing that until they assemble a radio. And then you'll prove to me that all of this happened by chance." They're not even going to attempt it. They know it's absolutely impossible. They won't even throw it up one time and say, I don't know. They'll give no explanation because they know that it'll never, ever, ever, ever happen. The fact that man was created with the DNA and all the complexities of the human body is beyond anything we can explain or describe. And everybody will finally readily admit it has to come from a higher power. That's the easy part. Back to the atheist mentioned earlier, suppose this person were to come to the conclusion that there truly was a God and they decide they must worship him according to the scriptures in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. But upon looking into the many denominations, the person finds that none of them resemble the church spoken of in the New Testament. Well, these people are practicing these things. I see those things are happening, but those happened in the Old Testament. Those people over here are practicing something else. I see that, but according to what I see, those things have stopped. Those things are no longer So how do I find the truth? Where is it? None of them resemble the church spoken of in the New Testament. Could he then just do those things mentioned in the New Testament and be worshiping according to Spirit and truth? Could he follow the things that the apostles did and the things that they did in the first century church and be worshiping according to truth? One might say, well, we all have a different opinion as to what the scriptures mean. We all have a different opinion. The whole idea is to avoid opinions. And as I drew out this scenario of this make-believe atheist, his whole idea is he wants to do what God says. He doesn't want to follow your opinion. He doesn't want to follow my opinion. He doesn't want to follow somebody else's opinion. He wants to follow God's opinion. And so can we go into the scriptures and follow exactly what God says and nothing else, nothing more, nothing less? I believe we can. Why would God give us, if you believe in God, and everyone here apparently does or you wouldn't be here, if you believe in God, why can't you believe that he would give us a pattern? What kind of God would not give us a pattern? What kind of God would say, here it is, hope you can find somebody to interpret it for you. Believe it or not, there are some denominations that say, you cannot understand this. You can't understand it. You have to have me interpret it for you. Hogwash. That's not true. What kind of God is that? Would really say that? Seriously, God would never say that. In fact, it tells us you can't understand these things. You can know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay, so again, the whole idea is to stay away from opinions and see, worship God the way the Bible says to worship God or the way God says to worship in the Bible. If given opportunity to study the Bible without any denominational glasses, or should I say without any blinders, people for the most part will see the pattern that God has set forth. It doesn't have to be brought out and pointed out, here, this is what it says here, let me show you what. Now that works. Sometimes you can show people, this is what the Bible says, I can show you that. Don't listen to me, listen to what it says here. And that does work. But at the same time, they can see the pattern for themselves. If the Bible was lost and everyone who has ever read it or even heard of it died, 3,000 years later a copy was discovered, do you think they could figure out how to become Christians by reading it? And we look at it and we think about, well, everybody's already been tainted, right? Everybody's been tainted by, if you ask somebody, what is your religious preference? I don't go to church. It's not what I ask you. What is your religious preference? Well, I don't really have a religious preference. What are your religious beliefs? There you got them. Because they're going to tell you something. Well, I believe this or I believe that. I believe in God, but I don't believe this or I don't believe that. Right. If they tell you they believe in God, that means they've already heard of God. If they've already heard of God, then they've already got some ideas in their head what who God is and what God's plan is for us, right? Or what our plan is for God or whatever the case may be. However, untainted, what would they find? If they hadn't been to somebody that never heard of God, never heard, what would they find if they opened the Bible and started reading it? Let's follow that. What would they become? Okay, in 1922, the tomb of King Tut was discovered and opened, and inside was found a container of seeds. When these seeds were planted, they produced healthy plants, even though they had been in that container for over 3,000 years. Unfortunately, the church that Jesus built didn't remain faithful for very long. Although they withstood a lot of opposition, they tried to stay faithful, they fell away. Okay, they eventually departed from the truth. God, however, has given us the written word, the seed, if you will, so that no matter how many thousand years it lies dormant, we can always get back to the original church that Jesus died for, right? Okay, so those seeds that they came out, they didn't produce anything they produced the same thing that those seeds would have produced if they planted them the day that they put them in that bottle. They produced the same thing, the same seed. So, John chapter 20, verse 31, John chapter 20, verse 31 says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. How many thousands of years do we need to lie dormant? These are written, we're talking about the scripture, the seed, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So whenever a departure from the truth takes place, it takes people of courage to search out the old paths and find, return to those ways, return to that original seed. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. 2 Timothy 1 verse 13. This verse here explains it to us. 2 Timothy 1 verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love which is in Christ Jesus. I did a sermon one time. Probably need to do another one on in Christ. How many times do you find in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in over and over and over in the scriptures? It's a deep, deep subject and it's very, very powerful and it's strong because it tells us how much we need to be in Christ and how it tells us where spiritual blessing. Anyway, back to the point. Have you ever been behind a bad driver? Never, right? Perhaps you've seen someone who never uses their turn signal. Or twice this week, I watched people, actually in the same trip, once on the way to, Darla and I went out to eat last night, once on the way up and once on the way back, I watched somebody turn on their left turn signal. I thought, this guy's fixing to come into my lane. And then they turned right. I watched a guy turn on his left signal and change lanes into the right lane. What? I couldn't believe I saw it twice in the same lane. Okay, so it happens. Maybe you've seen someone who never dims their lights to oncoming traffic. I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes here if you're that guy, but we're fixing to talk about you. Perhaps you've seen the guy who rushes to pull out in front of you and then he drives 10 miles an hour under the speed limit. Like he hurries up to get in front of you, makes you slow way down, and then he drives 10 miles under the speed limit, won't let you pass. Maybe you've seen the guy that stays in the fast lane no matter how slow he's going. He won't move. And all 18-wheelers, everybody has to go around him just to go the speed limit because he's driving slow. What if all of these infractions were the same guy? What if all of these infractions were the same guy, and this guy had a neighbor who had a 15-year-old daughter who needed to learn how to drive? And so the mother couldn't teach her, so this neighbor volunteers to teach her. Sure, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you're great. My neighbor's going to teach my daughter how to drive. Okay, cool. Maybe she doesn't know this guy, right? Or she didn't know how he drives. So he teaches her everything he knows, and she drives just like him. She can get in the car and she can get wherever she needs to go, but when she shows up at the DMV to take her driving test, she fails miserably. In fact, the guy who rode with her was so scared he told her mother, that girl would like to kill me. She's going to kill somebody out there. She's never going to get a license. She can't. She almost killed me. The mother says, yeah, but doesn't she look cute behind the wheel? So what do you think should happen? A, the instructor at the DMV should change the laws of the road so that everyone else can drive like her. B, he will call her stupid, tell her she should never get behind the wheel again because she was taught wrong, so she could never learn. She could never learn because she was taught wrong. C, go ahead and pass her and give her a license because there are already so many drivers like that on the road. D, direct her in the right direction to get the correct teaching that she needs to pass the driver's test. So now you see where I'm going with this, right? When you find someone that is practicing religion in a false way and they believe they're doing right because it's the way they were taught, it doesn't mean that they were right. It just means that they were taught wrong. This girl was taught how to drive wrong and she was taught by a bad driver. There are some people that are bad people regardless of their good intentions. They're just trying to teach somebody the ways, but they're teaching them wrong. And they're going to get them into an eternal hell because of it. The consequences. You imagine what this girl could end up in, a car wreck or something worse, killing somebody. Well, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the church. Someone teaches someone wrong, they could end up in hell because of it. Today, when it comes to the Lord's church, if someone comes and tells you that that's not what I was taught, we're expected to look away from the scriptures and adopt their foreign teaching about the church. Yeah, it's just the way it is. We all have our own beliefs. We all have our own ways. The church is a body of believers. Not just anybody of believers, but that body of believers who are producing fruit according to the right seed. Correct? Okay, so what kind of plant produces all kinds of fruit off the vine? None. You plant a grapevine, if you went by and said, look at all them vines. Always reminds me of the movie Secondhand Lions. Where the two old men, those salesmen, always trying to sell them something. Always people, they knew they had money, so they were always trying to tap into that money. And somebody sold them a bunch of seeds, and they planted them seeds, and they had cucumbers and squash and okra and green beans and corn. And when it all came up, it was all corn. I thought myself, man, they really did not look at them seeds very well, because I can tell the difference between an okra seed and a corn seed. I mean, and I'm just a hayseed. So these guys, but we think about this, the idea is the same. They got took. They planted all. They didn't buy different kinds of seeds. They bought all the same kind of seed. The same kind of seed will produce the same kind of plant. So what kind of plant produces all kinds of fruit? None. None that I've ever seen. John chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. John chapter 15, verse 1 and 2 says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Some people would have you to believe that in the vine is the production of Buddhists, Muslims, Hindus, every other false doctrine. It simply cannot be. And sometimes we even think about this. We've seen trees they graft a branch on. If you have an orange tree, a lot of times if you have an orange tree in South Texas, you can look at it and it's probably got a graft line at the bottom of it. You buy this little tree, and in order for it to produce fruit down here, it has to be grafted from something else. So they take a native tree, and I say oranges, it may not be with oranges, but they do it with other stuff. Oranges is one that comes to mind. Okay, so they take a tree that will grow here, and they'll graft onto it a tree that normally grows in California or in Florida or somewhere like that, and it will grow and it will produce fruit because the root of the system is from a sour root or some kind of a local citrus. And the tree on top will produce oranges until what happens? Until wintertime when it freezes. And since it doesn't freeze like that in Florida or California and get that cold in those areas where that came from, what it does is it reverts back to its original, to the original root. And then that original produces sour root. So you can change it whatever you want, but it'll always go back. It wants to go back. So we can change things. We can change that seed, but we really need to get back to the original. So many times we see this in these denominations. So I do believe if we look at this illustration and say, I know the Word of God doesn't produce those extreme religions, Buddhists and Hindus and stuff like that, but I do believe it produces many of the denominations of the world today. Still, how can that be? Does it really make any sense? Does it really make any sense for the Word of God to produce many multiple denominations? It doesn't make sense at all. Logic tells us an apple tree won't produce a coconut. An orange is almost like a tangerine. That doesn't mean that the orange tree will produce tangerine. The true seed will produce Christians only and only Christians. Remember Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body of the church. He is the head of the body of the church. He is the head of the body of the church. Keep repeating that over and over again because it's not going to change. And we read in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, there is one body. How can that be? If you read your Bible, forget about any other religion, forget about any denomination, forget about anything that I've said. You read your Bible, you're going to find Colossians 1:18 says, he is the head of the body, the church. Ephesians 4 and verse 4 says, one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body. He says one body, that means there's one church according to the Bible. If my Bible says there's one church, I want to know where that is. I want to know who that is. I want to know which church that is. How come people can read that and they're like, yeah, there's just... Here's where this universal thing comes in. Well, I had a guy just recently. I wanted to have a study with this guy. Would you have a Bible study with me? Yeah, I'll have a Bible study. I had a Bible study. We got halfway through the study. He walked out. He said, I'm done. I'm walking out. He said, I'll come back later. He never came back. In fact, he said, we'll need to talk. I tried to set up the other half of the study. He won't do it. When I asked him the question about the church, one of the things he said about the church is big A church or little A church? Or capital C church or lowercase c church. What is that? He said, well, the church universal is the capital C. That is everybody that believes. And the lowercase church is that's all the little denominations around there. It's just like a big tree with a bunch of little sprouts. Let me tell you something. I've got trees with little sprouts. Those sprouts aren't coming from seeds. Those sprouts are coming off the roots of that tree. Right? You cut them off. You spray them with poison, you kill your tree. Because they're coming off the roots. Okay? Those little trees, under oak tree, if you're living like where I live, a lot of oak trees, there's a lot of little sprouts under there. Some of them you pull up and there's an acorn on the bottom of it where an actual acorn grew. Most of those, you pull them up, you pull up the whole root. It's tied to the root, right? Okay, so if you have an oak tree and there's little trees coming off the roots, they're not coconut trees, I'm sorry. They're not going to be mesquite trees, I'm sorry. Mesquites are pretty prolific, but that's not what's going to happen. It's going to produce after its kind. It's going to produce after its kind, only its kind, okay? If there's one body and the body is the church, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that there is only one church mentioned in the New Testament. And our only recourse is to seek out that one true church, and if it is found that none of the so-called churches around us are practicing those things set forth in the pattern, then we must seek the old paths again. Do those things that were set forth in the pattern. What must I do to follow just the Scriptures? Follow the Bible and the Bible alone. Nothing more, nothing less. I don't want to follow some man's doctrine. I don't want to follow some man that got hit in the head and now he has seizures and he starts spewing forth words that doesn't make any sense and he says it's scriptural or comes from the Bible. I don't want to follow that. If you sit here and nod your head and say amen, but you leave here and you go and pat your friends on the back who are part of denominations and say, yeah, you're okay. At least you're going somewhere. You're a miserable comforter. You're just like Job's friends. You're a miserable comforter. Tell him, oh, it's okay. At least you're going. So I've had people tell me that. Yeah, I gave him advice. I told him, yeah, just go find a church and go. Just go find a church and go. Are you serious? You're talking about your son here and you're going to send him to just wherever? What's going to happen? What's going to happen when he gets his head filled with false doctrine? Those people aren't trying to teach. They're not going there and saying, oh, you're from over here. You're from over here. Whatever the Bible says, you keep on believing it. But that's not what we're teaching here. We don't want, if they're teaching something false, they're teaching it so that the people there can learn it. They're not just saying, come on in. They'll do that, sure enough, so they can indoctrinate you. You're sending your family members to get indoctrinated? That's not good. We got to watch out for that. Still not convinced the church is the body of Christ? Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. It says here in Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23, and hath put all things under his feet, talking about Jesus here, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The church is the body. You say the body of Christ, that's the church. No little c, no big c, no capital A, little a, whatever you want to look at it. We are to glorify God by Christ in the church. Ephesians 3:21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That's the verse before 22. And then hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. We saw Ephesians 4:4, one body. You notice that throughout all ages is in there? Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Think about this. When Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, did he do it? Absolutely. We know he did. Did he do it? Okay, here it says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. That means that that church would carry on throughout all ages. If the church was destroyed for 3,000 years and a Bible remained, there would still be a chance that that seed could grow back into that exact same church that Jesus built 3,000 years prior. If you're looking for the church that Christ died for, you'll find that you must go back all the way to the old path, abstain from the workings of this world. Stay away from the workings of this world. Satan has ways of teaching people, putting things in people's mind. Satan's not going to come up and say, as a big red demon with flames coming out of his mouth and a forked tail, and he says, you need to bow down and worship. He may do that, but most likely what he wants to do is he's going to draw you away by subtle things. What did he do to Eve? Did Satan come up to Eve as a big, giant, red man and tell her, you have to follow me, you have to eat this fruit? That's not what he did. He came to her subtly, and he whispered things to her. God, you're not going to surely die. You're not going to die. You're fine. As denominationalists are sitting there whispering that very thing today, telling people, you're fine, you're okay. And one guy, I mentioned it before, and he's talking about baptism. Guy's looking for baptism. He's seeking what the Bible taught. And his preacher told him, oh, don't you pay that. No, never mind. Don't you pay that. He says, all I see in the Bible is that you need to put Christ on in baptism. I can see that. And I haven't been baptized. He says, don't you pay that. No, never mind. The thief on the cross wasn't baptized either, and he was fine. This man died and went to his grave with that in his head. That you don't have to do what the Bible says. Because I misunderstand the scripture, and so therefore I'm giving it to you that way too. Wow. That's a scary thought. That's a very scary thought. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We've got to get back to the old path. Stay away from the workings of this world. Romans 12, verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We can do exactly what God says. We can follow the pattern. This is not a my church is better than yours sermon. In fact, I don't even have a church. So if you say, preacher, you think your church is better than mine? I'd have to say no. But Christ Church is better than yours. Christ Church is the only saving institution on earth. And let me leave you with this. All other churches are like airplanes without wings. You can still fit a lot of people in there, but they're never going to leave this earth. If you have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and if you have not have been saved by the blood of Jesus, and you have not have been added to the church that God that Jesus built by the Lord Himself, then the chance is yours right now. The invitation is yours right now. Won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected?